Welcome to the Myth Podcast. This is Pastor Cece here, and we are going to continue with our focus for the season and what I have the opportunity to share today. And I hope that you are ready to explore more and hear more and be encouraged. This episode was an interview with a fantastic person. I call her my sister, and I think that when we talk about connection and all the things that's been covered this season, it is important to be able to find application for it and hear how is this navigated in real time. And so my sister, Sylvia Clark, a self-published author, accountant, mother, wife, a up-and-coming midwife herself, will share with us her journey, her insights at the end of the season. Her additional insights will be a part of our bonus episode. I so enjoyed our time together, and I hope and pray that you enjoy it as well. Thank you. Let's get started. Hi. Thank you for joining me, Sylvia. Thank you so much. This is the wonderful Sylvia Clark. And I just, want to give you an opportunity to share what you want to share first. But thank you so much for being on this episode and being willing to share your experience with us. So I've already given them some insight about you, but what do you want to share before we get started?
That I am excited to be here. I'm excited to be sharing any of my experiences, my testimony, and hope that it will help someone and it will resonate with someone and they can say, I felt that way. I can understand. And just so they don't feel alone. We're all in.
We really are. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, one of the things that we're talking about is how have we experienced God in our midst? And you've come to our retreats. I think you was at my second event that we held when we first got started. And so I wanted to start with getting some background and about, your relationship with faith, your understanding of God. Share what that was like for you.
Oh, well, I thought I understood who God was when I came to the first retreat. And I quickly learned I did not know anything. I was out of my depth. It was so uncomfortable for me. I had no idea what was going on. I remember calling my husband like, oh my gosh, they're going to kick us out. All of this praising and screaming and speak. I don't even know what they're saying. I was confused. And it was because I didn't have the education that I thought I had and understanding who God was, what he represented, the gifts of God, the wonderful gifts of God. It was never presented to me. I had a very simple understanding of church, religion, and even God.
Okay.
And it came with the wrapped in a Baptist translation, old Baptist translation. Kids were seen and not heard. And the understanding, I just did not get it in my childhood, those formative years. So it was missing in my adult.
Okay. Now, one of the things you said it was, you learned faith through Baptist church, but you were younger. So I know that our first retreat was Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God breathed, right? And so it was paraphrased, it was brought down. But so you're saying that experience that you had, but then the childhood understanding was in conflict.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely in conflict. I had no idea what I knew I had received something. And looking back, I can say I was starting my relationship with God. He reached out. I accepted, but I didn't understand what was really occurring. And as more retreats, you know, as we get into that and how I progress to understand, hey, he's always been here. He's talking to you. It was amazing to see the interactions with everyone else, which also made me feel out of depth, because it's like, well, I don't feel that. What's going on? That comparison, not because I didn't understand how everything was transpiring, how people were being touched and affected, and how that looked, and how the different ways you can praise. And it was very different, but I did not reject it. And I think, I do believe that's what kept me in the space of learning, because I did not reject. It was uncomfortable. It was it was foreign to me, but I didn't reject it. I didn't go, this is wrong.
Now, I want to kind of dig into that. Why didn't you? Like, what do you think made you say, no, just wait? Was it something that God had said? You know, like, yeah, what kept you?
It was a feeling. I felt led to go to read my Bible. I felt led to talk to him. No matter what was going on, it was as if it was encouraging me to reach out and receive. Like he was saying, I'm here. Just hold out your hand. I got you. And I did have an encounter. I didn't understand it, but I knew something was different. I left different. I started off, oh my God, and left, oh my God.
Wow. That sounds amazing. What do you think the difference was in having that encounter? And because you were going to church, you know, we've been friends. So I remember you were faithfully going to church. What was the difference in that experience that this time, you know, had you done that before?
I have never engaged in church. I came, I got my word. I've listened to my songs, felt my spirit move, and kept on going. I was that member that came after everyone was greeting and left before the benediction.
Okay. All right. So you were keeping that. Okay. You say you were not what?
I was not invested.
But you don't think you were invested, though you kept going?
I kept going because I felt that's what I was supposed to do. I felt that's what good Christians do. You go and I'll get there to the point where I feel the need to serve. I was not taught on how to build a relationship with God. I didn't understand that I needed to build and engage. I'm like, he'll reach out to me. It was my understanding was very transactional.
I'm sorry. Say that again. You said transactional caught me. It caught me.
Yeah, it was like, I do, he do. I'm here. He's going to give me something.
So in that relationship dynamic, he was, because you would go to church and you would get something and then you would leave.
I would leave right there. I didn't understand. That's what I was doing. I got the feeling. I left it right there. I didn't expound on it. I didn't talk to him about it. I talked to him about things. And I'm really thankful that God has always been there and met me where I was, and that he didn't judge me on some of the foolish behavior that I had. And I was able to repent and apologize and let him really love on me, because it has really made a difference in my life.
It is interesting, because I keep going back, my mind is like, well, ask about ask about your moment when you said, I wanted to go read my Bible. I started to talk to him. Can you give some more about what do you mean you started? Like, because you said you called your husband and was like, what is going on?
Oh yeah, I did. And he was judging right along with me. And then it was like, that's not what I called you for. I'm trying to explain the experience that I'm having. But that's what we were used to, that exchange, that type of exchange. So when I came back in, I felt the need to go read. I was like, okay, I don't know what to read. So I just opened and read whatever page it opened to, but then I was prompted to pray and to talk. And it was a praying and talking that I hadn't done before. And I was like, wow, I was in the room by myself because everyone else was in the different spaces. And I was just talking and I felt God engaging. And I just was like, what is this? Okay, it's my spirit. All right. And that's where I was getting caught up on the analyzing of it, that being so analytical. I'm trying to dissect every area of what's happening. Instead of feeling and enjoying the moment at that time, I was just, okay, so this means what? And all right, he said, okay, the next step. I felt so confused, but happy at the same time. So that it was a weird dynamic, but it started me down my journey.
That is awesome. That is awesome to think about. Because I know you, and I know the amount of conversation and investment you are in. You had at that time, you were very careful. So I can imagine just the degree of caution you were, inspecting this experience. So I appreciate you sharing that. When I think about our understanding of God, what did you come to see now about God that was different in this experience? Like, name one thing that you could say, I left or I came to know this about him.
One thing God showed me that really changed the trajectory of everything was I didn't know how to be a daughter.
This was in the first experience, this experience.
It was the first retreat. I didn't know how to be a daughter because I told you I didn't know what that feeling was to be, to refer to him as daddy because I never had one. And it was more of a disciplinary and authoritative understanding of who he was. So that's why it was transactional for me. As long as I'm good, I'm rewarded. That's how I was raised. So he really worked on me after the first retreat to connect with my father. I did not want to. The man abandoned me. Why should I? And I didn't understand. He kept bringing him to me in dreams. Until it was time for me to relocate. It was my last opportunity. It's because I was relocating and I had a dream he died. And he's like, I woke up, like, how do I feel this? And I don't know this man. This man does not know me. And he said, you need to resolve this. If you think that's bad, what if it really happened? So I got up, went to work. It was my birthday. I left work and I went to my father's house. I introduced myself to him on my birthday, which is 5 days before his. And it was the craziest experience. Even in the moment, God was showing me how detached I was. And that is how he started to move me through my relationship with Mark, healing me in that relationship so that I could accept him as father.
That's a huge risk you took.
the whole time I was like, don't answer the door. I walked up to the front desk, like, please let him have moved. They were like, oh, he's here. I knocked on the door. I was like, nah.
I am looking at this scripture and laughing at you all at the same time, because this is, I can imagine that it was not a forceful knock. Like, it was enough to be heard, but please don't hear it.
Don't answer it. Be sleep.
I want to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, because this was the focus verse for that retreat. And it says, Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. And, you know, as you're talking about your father, it's almost like God took a part of you that you had left dormant, that you were, you know, just like, it's okay. And he started to breathe on it. Absolutely. Where you were inspired and strengthened and encouraged, and you took courage to then go and say, hello, here I am, this is my name, and I'm yours. Like, that's huge, just a huge leap.
it was. But I'm glad I did it, because I was able to heal from the rejection. And along the path, God showed me so many things, how I know how to be a daughter. And he showed me how I was hopeless, because so many things transpired, whereas because I was so transactional and I wasn't getting the reward for being a good girl, I felt like, okay, nothing, you know, this is what it is. This is what life looks like. And I settled. And all my wants and aspirations, I just buried them. So it was a lot of me hidden. And he's been revealing it. And we're still, he's forming me now into this. He's showing me who I am, who he says I am. So as I'm learning this new person, I'm so excited, because she's not hopeless. And she's not fatherless. And he even, this is like the past few couple years ago, he became my husband.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you, because you're about to take us on a journey. We got time. We're going to take a moment here, because this is getting good, you know, because what I'm hearing is in your transaction, God took it relational by starting with fatherhood, mm-hmm. daughterhood, and what that needed to look like. And so using your natural father, it also built a bridge for you and God to continue to grow in your relationship with him.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to hear more. I want to talk some more about these ministry encounters and impressions. So I want to get a little bit more into how did you know it was him, right?
Hi, I'm Pastor Antonio. I lead with Pastor Cece here in Central Texas. The Miss Church and Retreat is a Bible-focused, trauma-overcoming, and Holy Spirit-led ministry, realizing the vision of gathering people for healing and prospering through and in Jesus. As a relational, apostolic, and prophetic ministry, we keep the Word of God in the center of our lived experience. We do this by orienting our relationships through a Kingdom of God lens that sustains and directs us by the Holy Spirit. His direction opens our understanding and the world around us. We welcome you to check out our website at themidst.org for events and resources. Attend our seminars and conferences for your breakthrough. We look forward to meeting you. I'll pass the baton back to my wife for you to enjoy this episode.
We're going to jump into some of the specifics of the ministry encounters and impressions you've had, because you've been to more than one retreat. You've been to, you know, multiple, you're a member of the church. But I really specifically want to talk about your experiences where you identify God was in your midst, right? And so what about the retreats intrigued you? Because you didn't have to come every year. But I watched you go through something one time, and you was like, what I'm not going to do is miss out on anything that's been happening, anything that's happening at these retreats. So what intrigued you about these encounters?
It's really interesting, because after the first one, it was like, I don't know about going back. Yeah, I was intrigued. I felt the connection. But because I didn't know how to expound on it, I was in church, I wasn't engaging. I didn't really know what to do with it. And then, of course, day to day, it goes away. You're back in your same old routines. You're doing the same old thing. But my spirit was different. It was hungry. And so the next one, I was like, I felt the need, like I have to go. By the third one, I realized I came back different every time. It was so funny for the family that when I would get ready to leave, they was like, oh, well, we don't know who's coming back. They was like, get ready for the new version. And I said, that's right. And that was like the life I knew. I went in with no expectations but to meet with God. He's like, it's he and I. We're going to connect on a way and a level that I can't do the other 363 days of the year, because I can focus on him. I'm not anybody's mother, wife, child, no communications with them. I'm at the retreat. It's God and family, the spiritual family. We're all together. That is what intrigued me, because each year I was better. I was better in my study. I was better in my family life. I was growing spiritually in my relationship with God. He was constantly filling. So that was the greatest thing. I never walked away feeling empty or that I didn't receive anything. I walked away feeling like superwoman.
When you look at your experience, is there one particular moment that you and God have gone back to more than once that was pivotal or just stands out as a highlight in your relationship with him?
Oh, my childhood, definitely my childhood, whereas I had glossed over so many things. He showed me how it led up to me making the decisions that I made. Like even my first marriage, God told me don't do it. But I didn't know God's voice at that time. Mm. So after right before the first retreat, I started to pay attention. And I realized somewhere in that marriage that was God's voice. And he's like, I told you don't do it. So that's when I learned to listen to him, to hear him. And then I started to listen after the retreats. One of the things I noticed I would do is I would argue. I got to the point of when I was going back and forth, I said, oh, okay, that's me arguing with God. We're not doing that. Because if it wasn't God, I was kind of in agreement right away, because it was feeding what I was feeling. But anytime it was him trying to give me a nudge or some, you know, the conviction trying to set in, I wanted to justify, I wanted to validate and all of these things. And well, what about this? And how about that? And what if then I learned and continuous learning in our studies, that's disobedience. That's pride.
Okay, so this is how you started uncovering the voice of God versus your voice, was in those striving moments. And did you go to the Word to verify, you know, what was him like? How did you navigate? Because I even know that when we are starting to learn God, we always look for the high moments, right? Mm-hmm. And rarely do we think about him being in the low moments. But when, you know, you start contending with God, it is like a pulling and a tugging. And, you know, it's something there that you just can't say yes and you just don't say no. You stay in this in-between place. And mm-hmm. so, you know, when you, what did you do to kind of say, oh, okay, clearly this is the way you want me to take?
Well, first I was the opposite. I felt like I had to be in a low moment for him to reach out to me. If it was going good, I didn't see God at first. I only saw him in the bed. I knew he was there. He would help me. I could hear him. It's like we had this connection. I had myself deceived to the point that I had to be in trouble for him to want to help me and to love on me. So what I started to do, it started with books, reading, not just the Bible. I did a video cassette of books and the Bible and things, trying to engage in the Word, but I wasn't absorbing it the way I thought I should be absorbing it. I was not retaining it. So I kind of got a little busy. And then it was like, when I got involved with the ministry and being on the board, it felt like I was covering at first. I wanted to, because I saw the vision, I felt it, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I can help. I'm a helper. I'm a giver. And then I felt like I was still struggling with having that dependency on anyone and anyone be dependent on me for failure. Fear of failure, risk of failure. So it really has helped, all of the Bible studies that gave me direction. Before, I'd never attended Bible study. So I didn't know how to go to the Word to receive. I really only had my engagements with God. And I had my journaling. And like the things he would tell me to do. And it's like, well, I don't want to do that. And it, the justification in the beginning, and it was threefold. It didn't happen once. It would happen more than once. And I was like, am I just being disobedient? Because why you got to keep telling me? But then the fact that he kept telling me, I knew it was him, because I didn't want to do it. It wasn't anything that was going to hurt or harm me. It was for my growth. It was for my healing. But I was so comfortable in the pain. I understood the pain. It made sense. And that it justified me. It validated me to be who I was.
That's a lot you're saying right there. I was comfortable in the pain and it validated who I was. So you weren't trying to be transactional, is what I'm hearing. But there was some difficulty in accepting that what change was going to require.
Like he told me that. He showed me how I was here. I did not want to accept that I almost died in disobedience. And I heard it. My mom said, if you had went home, you wouldn't be here. And that voice kept saying, don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I didn't. But it was really hard. It took years for me to accept that it was the truth. Because the person wanted to harm me along with themselves.
So can we explore that a little bit? Do you mind? When you say I could have died if I went home. But God was in your midst to say, don't go. And then years later, God brings this back to show that was me talking to you. So do you mind like explaining what was that moment like for God to give you the courage to say it out of your mouth?
That's where the woman I was came from. He told me to publish it. I was like, no, everyone's going to know. It was the book of poems of everything I went through. And I was like, no, I don't want anyone to know what I experienced in that marriage. And he says, if I am not judging, who is to judge? And in that moment, I knew I was living in shame. And I published in fear. But once that book was published, I had no more fear. I had no more shame. I could accept the fact that that man was going to take my life. And I could thank God and glorify him.
Right, because he didn't. God stopped it. God didn't allow it. But it was by your obedience. It was by you trusting that voice to not go home.
Yes.
And you got out of the experience, the negativity of it, by publishing this book. And this book, right, is your heart is exposed now.
It's raw. It's really raw. And every time I think of it and I look at it, I'm so grateful because it really describes. God gave me that title. That is the woman I was. He told me I couldn't hide anymore. And I know I told you I've been a runner from the beginning. I've been running, I've been hiding, ducking and diving. And now I'm standing tall in place. I'm able to claim all that he's saying about me and not what has been said about me.
Say that one more again.
I am to claim what God says about me and not what has been said about me.
That's good. That's good. So your experiences have really blossomed with God over the years.
Yes. The ministry has really showed me how God is in my midst at all times. How he loves it. It helped me. It opened my eyes to God, my Father, the Son, the Spirit within, the blessings of, and allow me to see him for who he is in the Word. And the Word is just constantly edifying. And I am maturing in a way like now. He is my love. I feel a love from God and towards God that makes me love everybody else. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that before.
You know, research says that a retreat experience, right? When you go to a retreat, it has been proven that it's a return of substantial improvements to multiple areas of your health. I would love for you to share about what are some other areas of your life that you saw improve as you began to interact more with God and become more aware of his presence.
Well, I will say my relationship with my kids has definitely improved. One of the retreats, we discussed family, and I was convicted. And on a break, I remember calling my oldest daughter and apologizing. Not that I did anything wrong. I was the best mother I could be. But I finally heard what her experience was of me, of being raised in by this mother full of distrust and trauma and hurt and rejection. Now, she calls me every day. She went from a place of not calling me, coming into town and not even telling me that she was there. She told me at one point she would be homeless before she came back and resided with me. And now she can't get enough of being around me. And I'm thankful on being and on the transformation of accepting my own humanity. It's a process, and I still have my moments. My daughter, one of my daughters said, "Hey, I didn't even see you as a mom. I now see you as a mom, my mom." And the work that I've been doing, the growth that I've been doing, they're paying attention. And if my children are paying attention, others around me are paying attention. I do notice how when I'm in around others, say, "You don't do this," or "You don't act like this," or "You don't let this bother you." And in my head, I'm going, "No, things bother me," but it's not what I'm projecting, because that is not the love of God. So as you have said so many times, we move and speak to the audience of one.
Right. And so are you saying it's okay and it's not okay? Like, are you faking it? Like, what are you doing with your emotion to say it's okay?
That's the piece of it. It's like, for a moment, you do have that, you know, but it was like, really? What about when I did something wrong? How would I want to be treated? And I've always said that, you know, I try to treat others the way that I want to be treated. That's how I live my life. That's why I thought I was a good girl. But now I'm treating how God treats me. That's a different level.
Girl, that's really a different level. Because instead, you're being a conduit. You're allowing him to flow through you. But, you know, we all, if you married or got kids or you around people, they do stuff and it, you know, it make you want to respond. But, you know, to be able to dial it back and to consider the other person, allowing yourself to stay in the pocket with God. Right? Because yes, it's a situation, but how I respond can cost me my placement in God, and being able to be aware of yourself enough to make the choice your heart would want to make versus what your flesh would want to make. It sounds like you've been doing some practice and some dwelling in God's presence to be able to do that.
Well, you know, that's one of the things he allowed me to keep and understand. Like you said, I was always very cautious. So when we think, oh, I got to be changed, it's everything about me has to be changed. But no, there is some good. It's just how you use it. Mm-hmm. So my cautiousness now, it helps me to be able to not react.
That's good. That's good. So it's, you know, I like to say that he redeems what's worthy to be kept.
Yes, that's great. Yes.
Right? Because, you know, when women are told, you're so aggressive. And then when you get saved, you're supposed to become demure and timid. Yeah, that don't work for everybody, right? Because it was the fire of who I was, right? That God gave me that. So for me to give that up is giving away a part of me. And it doesn't mean that the way I did it was right.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean it should be tossed out. That's up to God to do. And I can recall being very uncomfortable with that part of me, right? Because it wasn't welcome. Nobody liked it. I was a troublemaker was the label. And even being in church, I got in a lot of trouble. And, you know, whether I was quiet or you know, full of fire. I was getting in trouble. So eventually I was just like, well, I'm just going to be in trouble. Like, I just, you know, but then God redeemed it. Once I let go of trying to fix it, then he redeemed it. It was like I had to take my hands off for him to be God, right? And when he's God, there's so much room for him to move if we should allow.
Yeah, and I had to stop glorifying those behaviors too. It was like, oh, I was, yeah, and I could, and he's like, is that how I treat you? Is that how I talk to you? And it started to bother me when people would speak a certain way. It was slow. And then I felt judgmental, like, oh my gosh, like I did this whole 180 and now I'm on the other side. Like, can we meet somewhere in the middle? But it's like I said, it's a continuous process. And the progress I've made, now I can see the other person's humanity. And but it'd be one of those moments like, oh yeah, I can't deal with that today, so I'm gonna keep on moving on this way, Lord. I'll pray for you though. And then those times you just like you go up and you start talking to them, and they're like, why is this person talking to you? Like, why am I talking to you? But it really makes the difference. It really does. And then you're amazed because you're like, this is what like for me, it was like, this is what obedience looked like. Yay, I did something right. And he had to tell me that it's not about being right or wrong. That's not what obedience is. Mm. It's all about love. Love is always right. You don't have to worry about if you're wrong, if you're responding in love. And when I would hear that before, I'm like, love is not in everything, okay? Love is not in his food, it's not in his bills. Yeah. I'm covered. I love the fact I got a job to go to.
Yes. Yes. You know, our willingness to be aware of what's happening in us as well as around us also gives us access to the covering that he provides, you know, because if something is coming at me and it's negative and I feel like I'm alone, I won't even think to be aware of God because I'm alone. But if I know that God is in my midst and he's available to me, then if something should arise, I am not thinking about what I have to do solely, right? I'm not just in my own thinking. I'm also able to tap into God. Like I can also respond and hear Holy Spirit speaking to me about what to do, right? When you said before that you had the encounter where you knew, and at the time, Holy Ghost was something. So something told you don't go home. And then God rewinds it and said, no, that was me. Right. But now you don't have to do the rewind because you're present, you're pursuing, you're accepting the humanity, right? You're accepting where you're limited. Like when you said, yo, if it's not a good time and I don't have it, I'm going to pray for you because right now, right? You know, the willingness to let someone go. And you are aware of your state and is not able to engage in a way that would be healthy for them or healthy for you takes courage because, you know, there's a tendency for women to want to overserve. And we'll serve out of what we don't have, right? So just the idea that you have grown to be able to say, I'm going to pray for you. Amen. I thank you so much for being my guest today, Sylvia. It has been a good time. I am glad we did this. I appreciate you having this conversation and sharing your heart and your relationship with God. That's a vulnerable share. And I just thank you for your courage and participation.
So as you heard from our interview, Getting to know God, embracing God in our midst is both riveting and humbling and life-changing. And Sylvia conveyed it with such transparency and expectation of what is still to come for her, but also gratitude. That's what I heard a lot in what she shared was gratitude. And from the previous episodes we've had about connection, there's been challenges that I presented and opportunities that I spoke of, and looking at scripture to identify how God would use moments to pivot our lives. And my prayer is that as you heard this lived testimony, one that's still unfolding, because Sylvia shared her life as a living epistle. I am basically living epistle. Let me explain. Just means a written letter, right? A lively letter, one that you can read and extract information from and insights, as well as observe to grow, to gain understanding. And with Sylvia sharing her life like that, that is courageous. That is honorable and admirable. And I just thank her so much for sharing. My hope is that you heard something in this episode that caused you to want to have a more in-depth conversation with God, or maybe have a different conversation with spiritual people around you, people of faith around you, and maybe explore some more spaces within. That's worth another look. In Psalm 119, there's a verse that says, "Lord, keep me from lying to myself." And I can recall a time in my life, I had never read that verse. And as I was reading Psalm 119, I came across it. I cried, recognizing the depth of deception that I had encouraged, embraced, and become familiar with. Though it was my torment, I knew it better than I knew love or truth. And so I encourage you to consider the things you've become familiar with that aren't serving you for your well-being, but actually for your demise. Please remember that God is always in your midst, available, always present, aware of where you are and the state that you are in. And when we're able to acknowledge him in our presence, it helps us to be able to acknowledge our state and where we really are versus maybe where we think we are. Be encouraged. As you know, the Mist Church and Retreat is located here in Central Texas. We have an upcoming conference, September 27th through the 29th, where we come together. And in this space, we gather in the presence of God. We find healing to gain traction, as you heard Sylvia talk about her experiences. This is one of those opportune moments for that. And so we hope that you will check out our website at the-midst.org to register. We only have until sometime in August to complete registration. So please, please, please join us there. We would be excited to meet you face to face and get to know you and be able to serve you as you advance in the things of God and embrace who you are, that your doing is sustained by your being, being amazing, being you. And with that, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. God bless you. Until the next episode, take care of yourself. And remember, God is in your midst.